China threatens retaliation if President Trump announces more trade sanctions.
China finds itself as the largest holder of U.S. debt, and America needs China to own it and buy it.
Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. The world's two biggest economies might be gearing up for a potential trade war. President Trump is expected to announce tariffs on Chinese imports later today of up to $60 billion. He accuses China of intellectual property theft on high-tech U.S. goods. So how might China retaliate? Justin Urquhart-Stewart is director of Severn Investment Management.
First of all, they can retaliate just by way of trade, and they've already said that they might target those which would particularly affect some of the states which may have been voting for the president. So, for example, it could be agricultural products, could be soybean products, those sort of things, as well as, of course, as we've seen with regard to iron ore and also aluminium. But, of course, there's another way as well with regard to financial areas, because the amount of debt that America has that China owns, and quite often China finds itself as the largest holder of U.S. debt, and America needs China to own it and buy it.
So we've got the two sides squaring up now. I mean, if there was a trade war, what is the potential global impact?
There is a very significant impact for the globe, because what it would affect is the global value of its economy, the amount of trade. Less trade going through any economy domestically will slow up that economy. The same applies globally as well. So if this knocks 0.1% off the Chinese economy, it would do possibly the same to America, and then that would ripple around the world. That sounds like a small amount, but you're talking about, well, if that's $60 billion just in one figure from China, then you can double that with the EU and for other major nations, same again. So you could be talking about hundreds of billions actually building up really very quickly indeed.
How likely do you think it is that we will end up in a trade war?
The threat, of course, is there, but actually I think there are certain people here who are far more reasonable. And I have to say, amongst those happen to be the Chinese, who tend not to react immediately, but are rather more circumspect and will take a step back and say, let's consider this and actually work our way around it. So hopefully, if that is the case, and the same happens with the EU, and possibly with some sounder heads in the United States, then maybe we'll avoid that and come to a sensible conclusion.
Justin Urquhart-Stewart, let's do the numbers. Hong Kong's Hang Seng closed down 343 points or 1.09% after the People's Bank of China lifted its seven-day borrowing rate. Meanwhile, London's FTSE is lower ahead of the Bank of England's rate decision. It comes a day after the Federal Reserve lifted its benchmark rate by a quarter percentage point. Investors are awaiting clues about how the central bank might handle global trade ructions amid high inflation and slow growth. And oh, the irony. A French company is about to sign a contract to produce Britain's new post-Brexit passports. Gimalto in Paris would start production in 2019, the same year Britain leaves the EU. Ben Sutherland is the chief executive of the British company that currently holds the contract, Delarue.
We have a very skilled, proud workforce in Gateshead. And actually, for me now, I'm going to have to go and face those workers, look them in the whites of the eyes and say, we'll try and explain to them why the British government thinks it's a sensible decision to buy French passports, not British passports. I mean, I'd actually like to invite Theresa May or Amber Rudd to come to my factory and explain to my dedicated workforce why they think this is a sensible decision to offshore the manufacture of a British icon.
Ben Sutherland. We've been looking at the problems of plastic waste this week. What about solutions? The BBC's Vivian Nunes has been visiting UK businesses with a unique take on how to tackle throwaway plastic.
I've come to a recycling plant in Swindon in the west of England. There's a very futuristic looking bit of machinery, and this is owned by a company called Recycling Technologies.
I'm Adrian Griffiths. I'm the CEO of Recycling Technologies. This machine converts end-of-life plastic back into oil.
The RT7000 subjects plastic waste to extremely high temperatures. The bonds in the plastic break down, leaving the base material, crude oil.
Well, this machine's capable of handling all types of plastic, the laminates, the crisp packet, the sweet wrappers.
At nearly $5 million per machine, the RT7000 isn't cheap. But Recycling Technologies says the market for crude oil means owners can earn back their investment in 3 years.
Our ambition is to actually produce a machine and mass produce it. So the factory in Swindon will make 200 machines a year. Each machine can process 7,000 tonnes of plastic. That means we're adding 1.4 million tonnes worth of recycling capacity into the global system each year.
But what if we could replace plastic packaging with something more sustainable? I've come now to a children's farm in inner London. Not far from the animals, there's a very well-maintained community garden. With me here is Michael Minch Dixon. He's the co-founder of Snacked, a company that makes fruit bars out of food waste. Michael, looking at the packaging of your fruit bars, the outside is very shiny and colourful, and the inside is a silver metallic layer. It looks much like any other kind of confectionery or chocolate bar packaging.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the idea, is that it should look almost the same, but with a very important difference that when we are done with it, we can put it into a compost bin and it will fully decompose in about 6 months' time.
Michael says the cost of using the compostable material has fallen by 60% in the past 2 years. While better plastic recycling is welcomed by environmentalists, many are urging the consumer goods industry to adopt plastic alternatives wherever possible, as a matter of urgency. In London, I'm the BBC's Vivienne Nunes for Marketplace.
Finally, an Australian company is developing a powerful laser to deal with millions of pieces of space junk. Other efforts to catch it include nets, robotic arms, even a space harpoon. In London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.